Welcome to the Combat and Pro Wrestling Podcast, a light-hearted mixed martial arts and wrestling-based podcast for those who enjoy either human cockfighting or watching oily men in their little pants holding each other down for a three count.
Of course, if you're not down with that, we got two words for you!
And welcome to episode 12 of the podcast, although it might not be 12, it might be 13, I can't remember, but we're going to go with 12. This is episode 12 of the podcast. This is the State of Pro Wrestling, part 2. So we did part 1 a little while ago. A lot's changed since then. We're sat here Monday, or the day after, AEW All Elite, and the world of pro wrestling has changed. But joining me for this one, same as on part one, is still the undefeated, never lost the belt, picked it up at WrestleMania, and has ran off with it since, is the queen of predictions, Natalie Tanner.
Hello, howdy ho.
Howdy ho indeed. And it is the runner-up, as always, from Captain Cat Ears Gaming, Teddy Buckley. How are we, mate?
I'm all right, mate. It's a good day. Today's a good day. It's a very good day, mate.
Yeah. Obviously, we've just done AEW predictions.
Yep.
For All Out. All Out happened last night. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about All Out. We're going to talk about the state of pro wrestling. Obviously, Ted's a bigger sort of fan of the indies than we are. We're more sort of on the Western side of things. But we're all big fans. That's why we're doing this episode. That's why we do predictions. Obviously, predictions have just happened. Natalie, you're still 1 point ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, on, what was it, 15?
Yeah.
Is it 15? Ted's on 14, I think.
Yeah.
1 point ahead of Ted. But, I'm on 11, I think.
Yeah, so we've still got to wait for the Andrade Idolo versus Pac.
Yeah, obviously you've both gone 3 on that, so it wouldn't make a difference between you two, whether he wins or loses. Obviously, I went 4, so that'd give me an extra point to catch you up a little bit. But ultimately, we're not going to predictions too much because this is not about predictions, but obviously Ted went 2 points on the casino battle royal, which was insane to me, but I think that's where he fluffed up. Would you agree, Ted?
Yeah, I did, mate. So I was banking on something happening that was very out there, that I'd heard no rumours. I just thought, oh, fuck it, I'll just throw a Hail Mary into the sun.
Yep.
See, you've got to go on the rumours. You've got to go on those rumours.
Yep. She's the queen of predictions.
I know this shit. I know these things.
To be fair, he's only 1 point behind, so...
Yeah.
Whatever card we do next, I'm not sure what it's going to be yet, but we'll get into it. So, obviously, AEW All Out last night. For anyone that didn't watch it, and is listening to this, go and watch it. Pause this, go watch it, and then come back. Obviously, CM Punk's first wrestling match.
Yep.
Like, I've always been a fan of CM Punk when he was around years ago. I really didn't realise how much I was a fan of him until this. Like, I was just so happy to watch him wrestle. Adam Cole turned up. Brian Danielson turned up at the end. Ruby Soho's there. What did you all think to that? Obviously, me and you watched it together.
Yep.
What do you think?
It were brilliant. It were exciting to watch it. Like I said, this first time... I haven't looked at any spoilers, any results or anything like that. You were the same.
Yeah. Obviously, we was busy this morning, but I went to work. You had some jobs on, and we both refrained from checking social media for the first time ever and just sat down and watched it together.
And it was fun and it was exciting and it was anticipating, like the anticipation of what's going to happen next, who's going to turn up, is the rumours true?
Ted, you watched it live. What do you think?
You were amazing, mate. I was buzzing all the way through. Even on the pre-show, mate, I don't know if you saw, I don't think you probably watched the buy-in, Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky are going to be in a little group with Junior DeSantos.
Andre Arlovsky?
Yep, and what's his name? Masvidal. Going to be in some sort of group. So I'm interested to see where that sort of goes. So it piqued my interest something off, and then the moment of the night is something that we've not even spoke about, but it's not a big moment for like the more casual fan. Someone that loves NJPW is seeing Minoru Suzuki going over to the US and they've been showcased in a massive way against Mox. Can't wait for that. It's going to be incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really know much about him. I don't think you did either, did you, Natalie?
I know little bits. Know little bits of New Japan, but not massive amounts.
Yeah, just going off the crowd reaction, I could tell something big was happening. Like how the crowd popped, I was like, right, so people that do know obviously know this guy. And then I saw him coming down and the look on his face, I was like, I'm sure Ted's told me about this guy before. That he's just like genuinely looks scary, but there's nothing... He's not like big, he's not like jacked, but there's just something about him, an aura. And like you looked at his eyes, he had them sort of like glazed over look in his eyes. He looked like a madman.
Yeah, I think that's what he's renowned for being a madman.
I really like the spot they've got John Moxley in at the minute, because I was struggling to sort of get on board with John Moxley for a while. But I don't want him in that sort of title picture. I want him traveling around doing all these sort of hardcore, sort of wild matches.
To be honest, when John Moxley was Dean Ambrose, he was good chasing a championship, but when he actually got it, he fell very flat. So he's better just in other different feuds.
Yeah, I like this sort of badass, sort of tough guy, take on all these sort of
other tough guys.
Yeah, these indie sort of wild men.
I loved him. I saw a meme today. It made me laugh. It said John Moxley walking into Tony Khan's office and saying, and Tony Khan said, "Oh, what rivalry do you want?" And he just says the word Japan. That seems what it is at the minute. It's just, it made me laugh. I'm with you, Nat, on that. Ambrose was great chasing. When he was champion, it was boring.
Yeah. Did you ever watch when he did the podcast with Stone Cold?
I have watched it. I've not watched it in ages, though.
Because even some of the questions he were asking, like Dean Ambrose, when he was Dean Ambrose, and you could see Stone Cold basically saying to us, like, you haven't really got oomph and drive. Not in those words, but basically saying to him, as a champion, you should have a little bit more get up and go. And you could see Dean Ambrose were getting a bit annoyed with it. But even when he was AEW champion, it were great. The build-up were fantastic. But when he was actual champ, there weren't much interest for him.
It was tough though because it was the obviously coronavirus era where there's no crowd hardly, and it's a tough time for anyone. Obviously, McIntyre went through that in WWE.
Yeah,
it's difficult, but yeah, I like the spot they've got John Moxley in at the minute.
Yeah, like I said, fighting other wild men.
It's exciting. I think it's perfect for him. Obviously, Ruby Soho in the Casino Battle Royal.
They need bigger female names. Really need bigger female names, and obviously Ruby Soho or Ruby Riott. People knew who she were, obviously in WWE. I knew they knew her before, but as much as WWE has their faults, they can get people's names out there, and they do spark an interest. And even if they go to other promotions, people know who they are. But yeah, it was fantastic.
The only way I'd pick it apart a little bit is I was happy to see her there. I wanted to be one of the main women.
Yeah.
But I think Thunder Rosa should have won that. Just going off the reaction at the end. Because I'd like to see that rematch with Dr. Britt Baker.
Yeah.
Maybe they're going to wait till Full Gear in November. Yeah. So they might do Ruby Soho on TV between then. And then obviously they've got big plans for Thunder Rosa because she was the last person to be eliminated. So usually that tells you
something.
Tells you something. But yeah, I think Thunder should have won that. But. Well, Thunder Rosa. Should I call her Thunder?
She won?
Yeah.
Well, Rosa?
I'll call her either one. But I'm being very picky here. I love this show. Probably, it's tough because I haven't really enjoyed wrestling for a long time. I watched little bits. It's all right in little sparks. But this was probably my favourite show I've watched, maybe ever. Because I don't know. I can't think of one that I liked more. But anyway, before I go off tangent, if I'm going to pick it apart a little bit, I love that she's got Rancid as her entrance music.
Yeah.
I hope that that's not the start of the song every time. It just kicks in with Destination Unknown.
Yeah.
I hope that there's a bit of a build-up. Like, if you listen to, I explained this to you earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, CM Punk's music doesn't just kick in with
looking
the
cult
of personality.
Yeah.
It builds a little bit of an intro, and then it kicks in. And I hope that she's got I hope she's got a bit of a rift or the actual start to that song, because it's not a bad start. It actually works.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a slow build, and then it kicks in. Don't just kick straight in with it. But that's the only little thing I'd say. It was probably cut down because it's a casino battle royal.
Yeah.
Hopefully they give her a bigger entrance.
The one thing about AEW I'll give them is their entrance music, 9 times out of 10, are really good. They make you excited for the character that's coming out. And so they've got like duds, like I think Matt Hardy's music isn't great.
I agree to some extent. I wouldn't say 9 out of 10. I'd say they're slowly getting there, but it's more of like 20 to 30% of the entrance songs are getting better and are good. But then there's quite a lot of generic entrance songs. It seems to be like a lot of the ex-WWE guys or the bigger guys, obviously like Jungle Boy and a few others, have got some really good songs. But there's a few that I think they'll get there. It just takes time. I think it's been like an apprenticeship this last 2 years. They're just feeling the way out and learning how to run this show. And now 2 years on, this show felt like, here we go. Now we're about to compete.
Yeah, well, this is it. It's a new product. It's a new company. Nothing's ever going to run perfect. I mean, when, Moxley's like death match, were it Kenny Omega?
Yeah, the exploding death match.
Yeah, that was terrible. But
no, the match was all right.
Yeah, the match was all right, but the ending with the explosion.
The sparklers.
Yeah, the sparklers. It weren't fantastic, but over time, when they get the pyro right, it will look amazing.
Hopefully they're on track now, because obviously they had the pandemic, which was difficult to get through. And then they had two shows that had bad endings. They had obviously that one with the exploding sparklers, and then they had the Jericho falls off the cage. I don't know if that was on a pay-per-view, actually.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was.
When he fell off the cage and landed in cardboard, it's like... So it were like two sort of dud endings to some good shows. I feel like they sort of hit this one perfect.
Yeah.
It's not that they had every match was the best match they've ever put on. Although I argue that tag match in the cage is one of the best matches I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was amazing.
But the flow of the show, and not to go on too much because I want to get your opinions as well. But I feel like we've been conditioned for years by WWE that when they put on a show or a pay-per-view, you'll have some good parts, and then they'll purposely put a bad match on, or like a terrible roll-up, or something you're not going to like, to try and bring the crowd back down, because they feel like the crowd needs to be suppressed. So then when they put something good on later on, the crowd comes back up and down, and it's like a roller coaster. So it's like I was almost constantly waiting for something bad to happen, or have a screwy finish, and they even teased a couple of screwy finishes on purpose. Because I think they know the audience has been conditioned. But they never did it. Every match was well laid out and interesting. Maybe not the Paul White one, but that was just a bit of a...
filler.
Yeah, a bit of a filler match. What do you think, Ted?
Yeah, it was very, very... there was like no... The only dud match was the Big Show versus QT Marshall. And they kept it really short and sweet, which is what they needed to do, to be honest.
It was kind of like an interval sort of match.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think I was listening to Wrestle Talk earlier, and they sort of said that match is the only match that didn't have a time limit. So the idea was, if the show was running over, they'd do it short. And if the show was sort of not where they thought they'd be, they can extend that match a bit longer to catch up.
Yeah.
And apparently they'd ran over a little bit with the CM Punk stuff, so that's why we're only 3 minutes long, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. Because Big Show, like, he's great, and he's a really good character, but I don't want to see him in the ring very much, so that works perfectly for me. Just a quick match, quick squash, boom.
Yeah, you could see he was struggling, though, even just to walk. Like, he his balance seemed quite off, even with his legs. Obviously, I know he's had quite a few surgeries and stuff on his hips and that, but...
He didn't seem as strong as he normally is.
No.
Normally, he can power people around, and you hear about stories of other wrestlers saying, like, he's the strongest person they've ever been near or ever wrestled.
Yeah.
But he didn't look very strong.
No, I mean, he still looked like a safe worker, and he always will. I think he always will be, just because of the sheer size of him. But yeah, when he was like WWE, he'd have like some oomph about him, and even though he were very safe with people, he still looked like devastating being lifted up by this 7-foot giant. But
yeah,
he looked very, he was like very gingerly moving, and that's not usually Big Show. But
I think it was just an opportunity for him to get back in there,
yeah,
and get the rust off, and then we'll see what they do with him. But I think they've got many other talents that should be showcased more. But I think it was the right setup for the entire card.
Yeah.
Obviously, now you've got your Malakai Blacks. You're going to have Adam Cole and Bryan Danielson.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a lot of top guys that weren't even on the card. Obviously, Andrade and Pac weren't even on the card.
Yeah.
So, it's exciting times. Anyway, what's next? What do you think we see moving forward? Ooh. After this?
So, I've got a feeling that November pay-per-view could be from the UK.
Full Gear?
Yeah. Because if you remember me telling you that Kenny Omega, Jungle Boy, Sting are all at this Comic-Con in November in Wales, so it'd be very odd for him, and I'm sure it's around that date.
13th of November, I think it's on. Full Gear.
Because I'm quite confident that Comic Con's around that date as well, which would make sense to why that they'll be in the UK. It just seemed odd, as say that they were coming over for a Welsh Comic Con and not doing anything wrestling related, no shows or anything.
I mean, maybe
I might be clutching at straws, mate, as say, but I think it could be in the UK.
But story wise. What do you think we see moving forward?
Hopefully, we see that, like, the Bucks versus Lucha Bros. I take more of that every day of the week.
Yeah.
The person I'm really worried about now, where does Hangman fit?
Do you think they bring him back? And I don't know. Who's he going next?
I wouldn't be surprised with Hangman. Obviously, he's having time off because him and his wife's just had a baby. Maybe slowly building back up to Adam Cole. Slowly building back up to his title match with Kenny Omega. Maybe go through Adam Cole. Yeah. Maybe Bryan Danielson will do some bits with Kenny Omega. There's a lot of potential storylines. Like you say, Bryan Danielson. Danielson. Even if Hangman comes back, they could tag. They could tag against the Bucks. They could tag against the Good Brothers. They could have little separate matches, feuds. Obviously, I won't be surprised they'll get him working with the Jurassic Express, with Christian Cage.
Maybe. Obviously, he's got the Dark Order stuff in the background
as well. Yeah, yeah. But I wouldn't be surprised there'll be a storyline around that. Like I say, obviously, he doesn't need elevating. Everyone knows what he can do.
Yeah. Tell me if I'm wrong. This I probably am, but obviously I know he's just had a baby. Mm-hmm. How much time does he need to have off when he's at the main event? He's the main guy, or he's about to win the belt. Is it the right time to have a month or two off? I mean, he only has to record Dynamite. Just keep him off everything else. Just turn up for one night, record it, then go home for 5 days or 6 days.
Yeah,
I don't understand why you can't do that.
Apparently, Tony Khan gave him the time. That's what I've read.
Yeah,
I just don't feel like it's the right time when you're just about to win the top belt, or you're in that mix. I don't think it's the right time to have time off. I, what do I know? Obviously, I haven't got kids yet.
Yeah.
So,
well, this is it. It's obviously if he wanted a couple of months off. I mean, obviously Cody did it when him and Brandy had their baby. Yeah. So,
I'd really like, for me, I don't want Adam Cole to just be a side character in the Elite. I want a slow burn of Adam Cole slowly taking over the Elite from Kenny, moving towards the Young Bucks and Adam Cole, and maybe Kenny goes off with sort of the Good Brothers or something, and we sort of see a bit of divide. I don't know. Well, I just like a slow burner.
Like I say, at the moment, if he's having some time, if Adam Page is having some time away, then at least it gives chance for other storylines to come through, other feuds. And then, like you said, slowly start bringing him back, slowly start showing dissension into
maybe get him in a number one contender feud with someone like a Danielson or a Punk.
Yeah. Well, like you say, he could plant the seeds to the Bucks. He could plant the seeds to Adam Cole. He could plant the seeds to Kenny.
What about the rest of the matches on the card, though? Moving forward, obviously, there's... Do you think Miro and Eddie Kingston carry on? I'd expect at least a couple more matches from them too. A
couple of more matches, but it'd be good to see Miro against someone else.
Yeah.
And, someone who's...
You're not a big Eddie Kingston fan, though, are you?
No. He just reminds me of, like, the American... Like, some angry baseball dad or football dad. You know, he's in his, like, basketball shirts. It's like the American chavs.
Yeah.
But, no, I can't take him serious as a wrestler. He's just... No.
I didn't think I could until I watched this match, and I was like, he's actually bigger than I thought.
Yeah.
I thought he was just like this little guy with a pot belly. No, I saw him throwing Miro over his head.
Oh,
he's actually not a small guy.
No, he's a good
wrestler,
but I just can't get on with the character.
Yeah, I sort of get it.
He's a weird babyface. I don't understand why they've made him a babyface. He's better as a heel. He's better on the mic with a few guys around him as a team. It seems really odd to put him with Moxley. Well, I know he's teamed with Moxley, but they're not really doing anything together now.
They seem to be going their separate ways, don't they?
Yeah, exactly.
What else on the card? Darby Allin, what happens next?
Anything for Darby, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, he could end up, I don't know, another feud with 2.0 or move on. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm really not sure. It depends what him and his dad wants to do.
She keeps calling Sting his dad.
He is his dad. He is his dad. Literally, after that match last night when they were picking him up,
that's what your dad does when you fall over. It's like, come on, son, get up. You're all right. Just brush it off. It's fine. It's fine,
oh,
love.
Oh, God. Right. Let's stay away from WWE for now. I want to keep with this AEW. CM Punk, what does he do next? I want you to throw some names at me.
So I've been trying to think of names that make sense, though, because he said he's got some old scores to settle.
Yeah.
And the only score I can think of is Daniel Bryan.
I were thinking Colt Cabana.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah, because obviously they did fall out, didn't they? So...
It's not been addressed yet, has it?
No, it's not been addressed, but he could have a feud. He could have a match against Colt Cabana. It doesn't have to be pay-per-view. It could just be a... I don't know, a Rampage or Dynamite or Dark. So
I think CM Punk wants to wrestle Sting.
Yeah.
That'd be an interesting one. It'd be an interesting match. I think I'd want it to be more cinematic, though, with Sting, because he's not really convinced me in his normal matches.
Tag matches, isn't it, to sort of protect him a bit?
Obviously, CM Punk's older. Obviously, Sting's older. I think they'd... They work with each other well, I think, but...
I suppose Punk would have to carry him through the match.
Yeah.
But I feel like Punk needs a little bit longer to really get that rust off to be carrying someone else. I could be wrong, though. I was thinking either an MJF or an Adam Page.
Yeah. It'd be good with MJF, because obviously he's good on the mic and CM Punk's good on the mic. It just would be one massive slanging match with each other.
Yeah.
But it could be a good build-up. Obviously, with the Jericho match, when you saw the Titantron, like the countdown, you're thinking, oh, fuck, Jericho's using his old countdown, and then it's just MJF taking the piss. So you could have MJF do shit like that to him, and it'd be just banter.
Yeah.
I completely agree. MJF would be really good, because I feel MJF now needs to leave Jericho alone. That needs to be...
Yeah.
His group's died a death. There's FTR injured, not sure when they're coming back. He needs to now go and regroup, and Punk would be a good little side feud for him, say, for a little while.
I agree, yeah. Something I noticed as well watching this, again, I'm always... We've been conditioned to expect the worst half the time. You can't just enjoy something. But what I noticed was that there was sort of a good mixture of sort of like guys from the past, guys that are currently on top, and guys that are going to be on top eventually, like the future, the past and the present.
Yeah.
I noticed there was just a good mix. Like, obviously MJF's sort of like, he is the sort of present, but he's more the future. Then Kenny's sort of the present, but I mean, he could be around a while. obviously you've got CM Punk and Bryan Danielson that you probably never thought you'd see him in this position. Adam Cole's more your sort of future and current, but I feel like he's not done enough currently. Like there's so much more there. There's so much, like he's sort of simmering over at the minute, and he could really turn up the flame, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And just he could be the one that takes the belt from Kenny. You never know.
Well, that's it. It could be a bit of dissension, and again, like I say, a bit of dissension in the Elite. It could be Adam Cole that does it.
Yeah. What's next for Kenny Omega?
Well, if Adam Page comes back, could be him. It could go into a feud with Bryan Danielson.
You're struggling with that.
I am really struggling. I really want to say Daniel Bryan. Again, like you said, conditioned to say Daniel Bryan. Bryan Danielson. I'll get it eventually. But he has got some good opponents. Like I say, he could eventually have a feud with CM Punk, but I think CM Punk would be quite happy with the younger guys, to be honest.
Yeah.
I completely agree. I don't think Punk wants the belt by what I'm seeing. So, as you say, I know he won last night, but it was the right thing to do. It was his first match back, so he needed that win was needed. As you say, but you can tell you how much he enjoyed the whole fighting the youngster, as you say, building Darby up. So, yeah, I don't think Punk's going to go anywhere near the belt for a while. I'm happy with that.
He was the perfect opponent.
Yeah. Kenny needs someone who's, who's going to come across as a bit more ambitious and who's hungry for a belt, who's hungry for those wins.
So what I don't want to see is, and I don't think we will, because they seem to be doing this perfectly, I don't want to see these ex-WWE guys or guys from the past sort of come in and take spots of current guys that are sort of AEW bred. If you look at the potential Kenny opponents, other than Adam Page, there's no one really set there.
No.
Or ready to go for that sort of number one contender, I don't think. So I'm quite happy for Bryan Danielson to come in and go straight into a title feud. Because I don't feel like he's taking anyone's spot at the minute. I feel like that spot's wide open. Just put him in there for a little bit. Put on some big matches running up to Christmas. Build some of the other guys up. And go from there. Obviously, there's a Malakai Black simmering in the background.
Yeah.
I don't know where that's going.
Again, with Malakai Black, you don't know if he's just going to keep feuding with the... Cody's...
Nightmare Family.
Yeah, the Nightmare Family. You don't know if they're going to be... If he's just going to go through all them and then...
There's not many left. There's only Dustin Rhodes.
Yeah.
And then a Cody rematch.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it might be a Cody rematch when he comes off paternity, but or filming or whatever projects he's got doing.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't really know who's in that sort of title picture at the minute. I mean, obviously they've got the rankings. I'm not sure who's ranked one and two.
I'm not sure, actually.
I'd have to check. But no one comes to mind. Like, he has to be next.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who there is. Who's number two? So I thought it was Jungle Boy for some reason, but he's already...
He's just fought for the belt, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that were a few other months.
Yeah, so I don't really know who... Like, and you've got to think, how many top faces have they got at the minute? They've got quite a few heels.
It depends if they're going to get someone from, I don't know, Impact or Ring of Honor or New Japan.
I don't think you do that when you've got a Danielson and a Punk
and
an Adam Cole. And you've got all these names coming in. I don't think you'll go past all them and find someone in Impact. Obviously, they've just fought the... Or obviously, Kenny's just wrestled the Impact champion.
Yeah. So, no idea.
No, go on, Ted. I think you've got the right rankings up on you.
Yeah. So, we've got Powerhouse Hobbs and Orange Cassidy. So, you've got Christian, who's 7-1. Orange Cassidy, who's 15-1-1. And Powerhouse Hobbs, who's 15-2.
And number three?
They're like the top three.
So, there you go then. So, no one's really bothered about seeing those at the minute. I think that number one contender spot's wide open. So that's where Danielson should be.
Yeah.
Especially after the pop.
Yeah, definitely.
But speaking of Christian Cage, what's next for him?
I think he'll do more work with the Jurassic Express and that. But he might have a bit of a run in Impact if he's got the title.
I think that's the way to go. I think you take him off AEW TV just for a little while.
Yeah.
Because he's sort of falling out of... It's tough when you've got all these other guys coming in that are a little bit more popular.
Yeah, and they're a bit younger as well.
Yeah, well, obviously Danielson's a little bit younger, but some of the people that are coming in at the minute sort of dwarf him in popularity.
Yeah.
I think you take him off AEW TV and have him working with some of the Impact guys over there, have him working with Moose and some of the others.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you can bring him back on AEW TV in a couple of months and it'll be a bit fresher for him. What do you think, Ted?
Same. I think that'd be best for him. But I just think it's going to be is it'll be Daniel Bryan.
You're struggling with it as well.
Danielson going with Kenny, and then you'll have the Jurassic Express sort of fighting with the Bucks, and then it'd be like them four tagging all the time, and Christian Cage will tag on to that. And so it'll just be them eight having matches, like mixing them up for the next couple of months, I think.
I mean, unless he, I don't know, starts having a few feuds with Matt Hardy again, and I don't know, maybe with Team Taz, you know, he could have a bit of a feud with them.
I can't think of anyone that I'm like, I really want to see Christian Cage wrestle this person.
Yeah, I can't think of anything.
And that's why I think you need to take him off TV for a little bit.
Get him with the Impact guys, just do a little bit of work with them, and then whatever storyline comes next,
he needs something about him.
Yeah.
So to throw a little bit of a spanner into how this is all going with everything, I think AEW missed a massive opportunity with having Jay White over here. He's been doing stuff in Impact. As say, he's the leader of the Bullet Club. You've had Tama Tonga, who's in the Bullet Club in New Japan, like going at it with the Good Brothers. It's all set up there, ready to go. As say, but they don't seem to have pulled the trigger. As say, and I think that was a little bit of a missed opportunity.
I mean, that could happen later down the line. You don't know. It could be a potential storyline if they want to do the crossovers, and that depends if they want Kenny to have the Impact belt again. But
Bullet Club versus Elite?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They could do it.
Who's their face in that, though?
Well, neither.
It's going to be Bullet Club. She's fan reaction, probably, alone. Mm.
The problem is they've got too many stories going off with the Elite at the minute to have another story. I think they need to sort of cap off what they're doing and then do that. I like Christian. I've always been a fan. I don't think that should have been the main event.
No.
I think Cowboy should have done it. Problem is, I can't call him Cowboy because I always end up calling him Cowboy James Storm. And he's not called James Storm, he's called Adam Page. So I have to call him Adam Page because as soon as I say Cowboy, I think of James Storm.
So, you know, you keep confusing me. When you say Adam Page, all I think of is Ethan Page. I go the other way with that, and it like you've said it a few times, and then it's clicked like a couple of seconds later. Going, no, you don't mean him.
That's why I just say Hangman Page. It's easier. Yeah,
exactly.
Right, so we'll start to move towards wrapping this up. Before we do, AEW Full Gear, whether it might be in the UK or obviously in America as usual. Apparently, America's having issues with the Delta variant or something, but we'll not go into that because it's just insane at this. It's just ridiculous. I've had enough of it. But the main event of Full Gear, I want you to predict what you think the main event will be. So, Natalie, we'll start with you. What do you think is going to be the main event on the 13th of November at Full Gear for their pay-per-view?
Could potentially be Kenny Omega versus Bryan Danielson.
So you think they're going to do a slow build from now till then?
Yes.
Yeah, Ted?
Kenny Omega, Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, and Hangman Page, triple threat.
Triple threat.
Hangman.
Have they done triple threats yet?
They've done a few triple threats.
Have they?
They did Kenny versus Orange versus Pac.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think Pac should be in that title picture. I'd take Pac as a champion, but I don't mind Orange. I don't know why he's in the title picture, but
yeah,
is what it is. So I'm going to go big on this. I think the Bryan Danielson feud will be a TV feud from now until November, and they'll hit it from Dynamite. It's just going to, they're going to be firing on all cylinders, but I think it'll start to burn out by November. I think it'll be to compete with Survivor Series, Kenny Omega versus CM Punk for the AEW title.
Mm-hmm. Go big or go
especially
home.
Especially why his face, because I don't think he'll be face for long.
No. So go big or go home.
Right, let's end this on a bit of a sour note then. Let's talk about WWE for a second, because it is part of the pro wrestling world.
Yeah.
I've been itching to ask this question. There were a nice little segue to it earlier, but I held my tongue. What do you think to Nia Jax? You mentioned about people being safe in the ring. What do you think about Nia Jax and Charlotte Neal having a proper scrap on Raw?
It weren't a scrap. It were a paddy fit. A paddy fit. It were one of them. To be honest, me personally watching it, it were a bit uncomfortable to watch. You're like, oh, what's going on? Is that real? Or
I heard people trying to explain it that there was
shoot work
trying to. Yeah, they were trying to work a sort of shoot fight. So people would be like, oh, were they actually fighting? But the problem with that is wrestling's supposed to be a fight. So we're supposed to believe it's a fight. So what they're saying is, oh, no, we're not pretending to fight this time. We're actually fighting, but we're pretending to actually fight. So it gets very murky.
Yeah.
So I don't want to see that.
No. It was so uncomfortable to watch, because you could see they just didn't want to work with each other. There were no chemistry. Nia Jax kept everything Charlotte were trying to do. Nia Jax just basically fucked up. Like a couple of times when she drops her on her head and her shoulder, and you're like, ooh, the impact.
I just don't understand why Nia's there. I don't think she moves the needle. I don't think she brings any fans in. If anything, she turns people off. She might be a nice person in real life, but she seems dangerous. She doesn't bring any eyeballs to the TV. I don't know how much your contract is.
Well, she's in because she's The Rock's cousin.
Yeah, but is anybody watching her?
Because not really, but that's her leeway. I think that's the only thing that keeps her around, is the fact she's related to The Rock.
Yeah, well.
But it just looked awkward and uncomfortable.
Just have her as a manager or something then. I don't know, but... Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
And I think Charlotte Flair's in a weird position at the minute.
Yeah. Well, her dad's gone. Her partner's gone. Obviously, she's
a good wrestler.
Yeah,
but I don't think she brings eyeballs either.
She did at one point.
Yeah, she's one of the best in the ring, but she seems like she's almost having a mental breakdown at the minute. Like, she looks like she's having a lot of sort of surgeries. And
yeah,
she's lost a lot of weight, and obviously that match on Raw.
Yeah,
things aren't looking good.
She just looks like she don't care anymore, sort of thing.
I don't even know if AEW would want her.
No.
I don't know.
She wouldn't work in AEW for me. I think we spoke about this before. Like, I asked you the question, how would you book Charlotte Flair on the indies? And I don't think you can.
No.
She's just too WWE.
She doesn't relate with fans at all.
Yeah.
She might not be too...
She hasn't got the charm her dad has.
No.
Like, even when he was a heel, you'd still have a chuckle at him. Because he's...
He's Ric Flair.
He's just got so much charisma. I don't know, but anyway, is there anything interesting in WWE at the minute? Any stories? One person? One character? Anything that you enjoy watching?
No.
No?
And that's being brutally honest, no. There's
I really dug hard to try and find something here.
I can't. Even with Becky Lynch coming back, or a possible Brock versus Roman fucking Paul Heyman love triangle, there's nothing. There's nothing that's...
I haven't seen anybody mention this apart from me and you was talking about it. And I think it's glaringly obvious. Becky Lynch doesn't look very healthy at the minute.
No.
Like, her face looks very sucked in. Her eyeballs were... Because I've cut weight for fights before and you're sort of very dehydrated. Her eyeballs were like sunk into her head. She looked very skinny and weak.
Yeah.
And she looked like like you looked at her, stood next to Bianca Belair, and you're like, she'll kill her in seconds. Like, there's no illusion there. You're not looking at them and like, I know they work in a fight, but I don't actually know who'd win here. She looks very unhealthy, like she, all her bum's gone, which happens sometimes when you're not training properly, or you're just dieting too much. Like, her hips have gone, her legs have gone very thin. There's no shape to her.
Rams. Yeah, I was looking at an old photo, or one of Becky Lynch's photos, obviously before she had baby and that. And yeah, her arms were, she obviously she's never been massively jacked, but her arms were, she had good muscular arms, her legs, her thighs, she had a good set of thighs on her, her shoulders, her abs, even with her abs and that, they weren't defined, but she had good shape to her. She looked strong, she looked athletic.
Yeah, I don't feel like anybody picked up on this. Did you, Ted? Did you notice this?
Yeah, I'll be honest, I've not been really watching much, but when I have seen her, I've not been...
I've only seen her on SummerSlam.
Yeah, I've watched a little bits of like the SmackDown highlights, and like you say, very much the same. She doesn't look right.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, she's probably just... it looks like, you know when someone's like rushed to lose as much weight as they can?
Maybe, but obviously they're protecting her because she's still not had a match, has she, since she's been back?
No.
She's doing segments. Obviously, they've got the belt on her, so she's supposed to be the toughest woman on the roster or on SmackDown.
Yeah, because you've got
Bianca... keeping her out of matches.
Yeah, because you've got Bianca Belair going, oh, yeah, you know, let's have a rematch. And she's like, nah. So
yeah, but she's not even getting booked in tag matches or six-way or anything.
So, I don't know.
So, something feels like it's wrong.
Yeah. Again, they shouldn't have put the belt on her. They should have...
I think they did it for the shock factor in the moment, and now what do you do?
But with Becky Lynch, they should have like build a feud up, build a storyline, then possibly when she feels confident, feels a bit stronger, or I don't know, then take the belt. But it was shitty how it was done.
I see little clips on Instagram at the minute, but what I've liked today is all the comments. I was telling Natalie this. Well, actually, I mentioned this to you just before we started as well, Ted. All the comments and all the clips are just... AEW, Adam Cole's the best, baby, or CM Punk's back, or we're all elite now, so fuck off. It's just every single comment is just about AEW last night, and it's fun to see because they've got to react to this. But I've got one for you, just before we go.
I've got one as well. I've got technically got
now
two.
Go on, Ted. Tell me yours. What are you enjoying at the minute in WWE?
So, stick with me on this, because this is a guy that I've been very hard on. But I quite like this new shit that he's doing. He's Happy Corbin. Like the vignettes have been amazing. Like I follow him on Instagram, and all the time that he was in Vegas, and he was like, oh, "I'm just still partying in Vegas," and it was quite interesting, quite different, and I just quite enjoyed it. And
Are you excited for Corbin versus Kevin Owens at Extreme Rules?
Yeah. Well, I didn't see the wrestling side of things I was excited for. The vignettes I'm enjoying, but yeah,
that's going to be the culmination of what's happening at the minute. You do know that, don't you?
Yeah, and the other thing I'm excited for is about to get ruined in Extreme Rules as well, where we're going to get the Demon Finn and Reigns is going to kill him in all about 2 minutes, and that's going to be the death of Finn Balor.
I agree. The only thing I was enjoying, and I feel like it's dying, and I don't know where they're going to go with it, was Mr. Money in the Bank, Big E. That actually sparked a bit of excitement in me, because I was like, oh, here we go. Finally, he's getting a push. And then I saw a clip of him from this past SmackDown as a janitor just being weird in the back.
We're laughing at Paul Heyman, weren't we?
Like, he's just acting weird and daft and dressed up as something for no reason. And then that's that. And you're like, he's meant to be Mr. Money in the Bank, the next big guy. He's not even in a match.
They don't take it serious. Money in the Bank is just a gimmick now. They don't take it serious whatsoever. So,
I don't see him taking it off Roman, but I assume sometime soon, I think he'll show up on Raw and take it off Lashley.
Yeah.
So maybe something to do with the draft that's meant to be coming up. But I even forget about that these days because I just don't care. So just before we go, I know I keep saying this. Main event of Survivor Series, Natalie, go.
Ain't a clue.
Think of one. Think of something. It's in November, I think.
I don't know.
So, potentially, it could compete with your predicted Full Gear main event. Is it going to be Raw versus SmackDown, do you think? Or do you think that doesn't work?
They might do champion versus champion, maybe.
Lashley versus...
Well, saying that, you know what? Obviously, they've got Becky, they've got Charlotte. It could be Becky versus Charlotte.
That's the only thing that I could say that was. What mine was.
Or
Becky versus Charlotte.
Becky versus Charlotte or Roman versus Bobby.
Yeah. I think it'll be Roman versus Big E.
You reckon?
I think he'll have that belt before then.
Yeah.
Roman versus Big E is going to be my main event of Survivor Series. And I expect they're going to do the Raw vs. SmackDown that's been done to death.
Yeah.
No one cares about.
What does everyone think about Vince taking over NXT?
Terrible.
To be fair, I've been watching it a while, NXT. And me and you was going to do a games channel that doesn't exist anymore. I think I've actually plugged it. I plugged a lot of things for you on this podcast
that no longer exist.
But we were going to do like a Wednesday Night War series, like NXT versus AEW, because I was an NXT guy. Ted was the AEW guy. And obviously NXT doesn't really exist anymore. But when I was watching it, I always thought, you know what this needs? It needs a 76-year-old man that doesn't know what he's doing already to start booking the matches. That's what I used to think. And now I've got my wish.
Exactly, mate. You've been wanting Vince in charge. You've been wanting Paul out of a job for a while now. Is Paul going to be the next All Elite? Is Triple H going to be the biggest?
I'd absolutely piss my pants if Triple H ended up in All Elite Wrestling.
You know, I've just realised as well, Bray Wyatt's not even turned up yet.
No.
What an exciting time. He's going to do something. You know he's going to turn up somewhere.
It could be the next pay-per-view.
Is like 90% AEW. Bro, so everything that happened last night, and he's going to turn up and do something as well.
Braun, he'll be TNA. He'll be Impact.
Keep Braun away from AEW.
No, Braun Strowman, I can see an Impact. Same with Buddy Matthews, Impact. I think that'll suit them a lot better. They've got big guys over there like Moose and that. They could work.
It's just paining that'd be the issue.
Yeah.
But yeah, so all those that showed up yesterday, and we've still got like a Bray Wyatt or a Wyndham Rotunda, or something's going to happen there. So it's just exciting.
What's it? The Cult of Wyndham. I think that's what you were like teasing.
Yeah.
So he might, little Bo.
Yeah,
could bring Bo with him and that as well, but
maybe or Rowan.
Yeah, or Rowan. Yeah, could I mean, to be honest, if they did bring Bray Wyatt back, or they did bring him into AEW, he could work with the Dark Order and turn him heel, because obviously
I think they need shuffling up.
Yeah.
Something needs to happen with the Dark Order, because I know obviously they're respecting not Brody Lee. Brody Lee. Obviously, they're keeping his memory going. But I think you can still do that, but also give them a purpose and a new direction.
But that's why if they brought Bray Wyatt in, it's like, oh, yes, Sir Brody was one of my disciples. I will show you the way that I showed him. You could easily do the storyline with him.
Yeah, I agree, yeah. What do you think to that, Ted?
Yeah, I completely agree. The Dark Order were really good under like Hangman. No, this sort of partnership, but it's like now Hangman's not gone. Like it was last night where they all ran out, and they were literally the most random. It ran the pre-show. You haven't seen the most random group of wrestlers ran out to stop a fight going off with the Matt Hardy's group and Jungle Express and Orange Cassidy and everyone. It were like 10 silver. Then they were that. Darius Matthews, is it? Or whatever his name is. No, the really young tag team, the two young lads that are there. His brother's injured at the minute, but they were really good before he got injured. And like a random assortment of characters are like, this is just looks terrible on Dark Order.
That's it. The Dark Order need a purpose. And like I said, they need a leader. They need a... They do need someone who's...
I think they need to thin out a little bit as well.
Yeah.
I don't think you need Colt Cabana in the Dark Order.
No.
Just have him as Colt Cabana. Have a few... You need to bring somebody in that's going to sort of take some of them out, and you don't really want more than sort of five or a six or six at a push. As soon as you got more than six, it's just too many people. You can't keep up with everything.
No.
That's where I'm at with that.
Same here, mate.
Anyway, that'll do us for part two. I think we've ran over... We're about 50 minutes-ish, so that's perfect. We'll be back for predictions at some point. I don't know if we're going to do Extreme Rules. We shall see. I don't know if I can be bothered. Well, obviously, we've got some good episodes on the way out. Or on the way in, sorry. I think I'm just very tired now. It's been a long day. As always, follow us at... Actually, it's not as always, because we've got some more social media platforms now.
You have.
Follow us on Instagram and on Twitter, which I don't know how to use yet, but we are on there, at TheCPWPod on Instagram and Twitter. We've also got a Facebook page, The Combat and Pro Wrestling Podcast. check us out on there. That's building up nicely because I actually know how to use Facebook. Yeah, Ted, where can they find you?
At Captain Catiers, CPTKETEARS. They say on everything, I say apart from Facebook.
Everywhere. Everywhere.
The captain is everywhere.
I am.
On the high seas, on the social media.
And obviously you can catch Natalie dominating predictions, as always, with a little spinner belt.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, that'll do us today. And we'll catch you on the next one.